Hi, I'm Carissa Peckrell.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health 360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps service member. Joining me today is Carissa, a former AmeriCorps service member who currently now works with Health 360 in a social media capacity, along with some other cool things we're going to find out about. So Carissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So we've had the pleasure of chatting a couple times before about some other Health 360 related stuff, but I'm very excited to get to you officially on the podcast. I always like to start getting to know my guests a little bit better. So you're talking to people, strangers on the internet, so feel free to share as much or as little as you'd like about yourself.
I'm Carissa. I am a former Healthy Minds Alliance member. I served through the years of 2019 to 2020. I also took a position with Health 360 after that, managing the Health Forward program, which is the other program out of Health 360. Currently, I work as their social media and communications consultant, as I have a full-time job as a social worker in an elementary school.
So yeah, you wear a lot of hats. So if you don't mind sharing about yourself, what brought you into AmeriCorps originally?
So I had graduated a year early from undergrad, and I was really looking for something to get me out into the world to practice my degree in psychology. I was sitting with a professor one day, and she brought up the idea of national service. And I really thought to myself, well, what does national service have to do with mental health? You know, would I have to travel to a different location for that? Would I have to move? What are the benefits? And it was something that I really hadn't ever heard of. I went and did a little bit of research, and I found that Health 360 at the time was based out of Waterbury, Connecticut, which was very close to where I was living. And it just seemed like a great fit. So I was connected with the agency. I had an interview with Celia Meyer, who is now the director of the Healthy Minds Alliance program. Mm-hmm. And it all sort of came together, which was wonderful.
All right, and you said this was 2019 to 2020?
It was, yes. So I started in 2019. I finished out my service year right during the beginning of COVID. And so my service term changed a little bit throughout my time with Health 360. We started in an office working all together. And by the end of it, we were all working remotely.
Remotely.
Or I was serving remotely, but you know, the members at Health 360 were working remotely.
And if you don't mind me asking, what host site were you working with?
So I was actually working with Health 360.
Oh, okay. So you were like in the home office.
I was in the home office. Yeah, it was neat because I didn't really understand that concept until I got into it. And then realized that the Healthy Minds Alliance member calls each month were coming out of Health 360. And I was kind of in a back room taking those calls while Celia was directing them, you know, in her office. So I felt really connected from the start to the agency. I feel really grateful to have gotten to know and have personal connections with the people that work at Health 360. And now I don't describe them any other way than being one family at Health 360. You know, we're the Health 360 family.
I mean, it's one of those, like, it's sort of like self-selection. I can't imagine anyone's ever going to volunteer to be on this podcast if they just had a terrible experience with the program. But I like to think that you must have had a pretty good one because you, even though your term is up and you've moved on and you now have a full-time career, you still wanted to be a part of the program in some way. And is that how you kind of fell into social media coordinating? Is that something you are also trained in? Like, if you don't mind, I'm just kind of curious how that worked.
Yeah. So my degrees are really in psychology, educational studies, and social work. And I feel like with those degrees, I can do a variety of different things. And I've actually had the opportunity to kind of learn along the way, and Health 360 has been really phenomenal in kind of implementing trainings and things to help me out on sort of whatever capacity I want to serve and work with the agency. But I started as the Healthy Minds Alliance member. I enjoyed training. So I was doing the mental health first aid trainings. I was trained in both youth and adult and training throughout the state of Connecticut. After that, I had taken a role with them as the Health Forward coordinator. They were looking for someone to supervise the Health Forward members coming in. And I was in my graduate studies at this point. So it was fantastic work experience, especially because I was in a field of social work. So I was constantly connecting with people. I was, you know, building capacity for the agency, and it really gave me a good idea of what community social work looks like. And then after I had done 2 years of supervising AmeriCorps members with Health 360 and the Health Forward program, they were looking for someone to manage social media accounts. We've had quite a lot of growth within the last couple of years. And we definitely have expanded on social media sites, you know, as well as just nationwide. And they were really looking for someone to manage that. So that's kind of how I fell into the role. Prior to having a stable kind of person manage social media, it was a cool idea, but it wasn't necessarily sustainable. But social media would be passed on from AmeriCorps member to AmeriCorps member at the agency, which was great. But AmeriCorps members typically only serve for 10 months and then it's passed on to someone new. And they were really looking for kind of consistency. So I sort of fell into it. And it's a skill set that I've learned and I now find that I love and enjoy.
Well, this would probably be the great time. Let's drop those links. Where should people follow Health 360? Where would they go?
Sure. So Health 360 is on pretty much every social media site. We have an Instagram account. We have a Facebook account. We have a Twitter account. We have a LinkedIn. So you can find us pretty much everywhere. And all of those links can be found on the top right-hand corner of our website in those social media icons. That's also where this podcast link will be found as well. So
now I'll put the links in the show notes. So create a big circle. People can get and just lost in there endlessly clicking around. But I'll make it as easy as possible for people to find those if they would like. Again, I'm a hobby podcaster. I podcast about other things that just interest me because I'm a giant geek. So I have social media accounts for those podcasts and things that I do. And it is very difficult. You know, I've been on Twitter now for about 11 years, and it has brought me so much joy that, like, there are literally people in my life that I consider like my best friends that I would not have met if it had not been for Twitter. But it's also kind of, Twitter is kind of a weird place right now, and it's kind of getting hard. And there's this weird sort of like, you know, how much of it is promotion versus how much is it connection? Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice to anyone who's either interested in following accounts that cover mental health and they want to, you know, be uplifted, but not get bogged down in some of the negativity that's also on social media?
Yeah, I think you have a great point. I think social media accounts, especially related to mental health, can be extremely impactful and powerful. But I am a huge proponent for safe messaging. It's so, so important when it comes to talking about mental health and, you know, avoiding using any sort of stigmatizing language. Using safe messaging, like dropping mental health links, dropping crisis lines when you're talking about sensitive, you know, subjects related to suicide or self-harm or anything like that. So my advice really would be choose your sites carefully, choose trusted sites, and choose sites that give you sort of that positive and uplifting message. I've found that social media can be really powerful for people who maybe are struggling or going through a tough time, and just having kind of that constant messaging and safe, but, you know, secure, positive messaging can be really, really powerful.
So I believe the way these episodes will come out, you are going to come out after, or either right after, a week after the interview I did with Brian Kurtz. He's a friend of mine who's also a child and adolescent psychologist. And we talked a little bit about COVID and how, you know, it changed psychology in a way, because suddenly there was this need for remote therapy, and it, like, you know, businesses have been launched because of that. I mean, I know there's negatives and positives, but is there anything in particular that you think that relates to what we're doing here, mental health awareness, just helping people be connected when in some ways we're more closed off than ever?
Yeah, I think as, you know, as I work as an elementary social worker, I think it COVID has definitely taken a toll on the mental health of people of all ages. That's something that we're seeing increasingly with, you know, hotline numbers, with statistics that are coming out. And I think in the elementary school capacity, we're definitely seeing more anxiety behaviors. We're seeing more mental health need. And I think that a lot of it does stem from that period of isolation. Unfortunately, I think a lot of kids really haven't had the opportunities to socialize like they would have had COVID not happened. And so my work really this year was running a lot of social skills groups with students, you know, managing anxiety or depressive behaviors with coping skills and strategies. And as a school social worker, my role is a little bit different because my goal is really to keep the students in the classroom. So how do we, you know, have them effectively access their learning while still managing mental health? And that has been a huge challenge across the board this year with, you know, with helping students navigate that.
Yeah, I have two boys myself, a 13-year-old and just recently turned 12-year-old. And, you know, we had just moved to another state right before the lockdown happened. So they had no friend group at all. And then suddenly they're out of school for a year. It was, you know, I can definitely see in them how things have gotten a little bit stunted, but it's also nice seeing now that we're, as I told Brian, I don't know that we're on the other side of COVID, but it just seems like as a society, we've said we are. So we're back in school, we're doing activities and just getting them to see that interaction with their friends. It's been very enlightening and joyful, but I do still worry like what might not reveal itself for a while. Mm-hmm. But I talked to him all about that. So I want to talk to you about something else. Sure. I want to talk to you about self-care, because that is something that, again, as someone who teaches the youth mental health, we talk about, you know, you can't take care of others unless you take care of yourself. The analogy of the, you know, the air mask coming down to the plane. So what would advice would you give to someone, again, someone who's on social media, who's bombarded with doom scrolling? When do we know we need self-care? What advice would you give for someone who may not even know what to do?
I think if you are feeling burnt out in any capacity, so socially, you're feeling like you've had enough, you know, stimulation, mentally, you're feeling like your thoughts are disorganized, emotionally, you know, you're feeling like you're going to cry, or anything that is atypical to sort of how you normally function is a red flag. And I think needs attention in the area of self-care. Unfortunately, I think sometimes we live in a society where work comes first in a lot of capacities. And so really self-care, and I've been, you know, learning and trying to implement this in my own life this year, just with so much of my responsibilities, just having so many different responsibilities, is the idea of boundaries and setting them and making sure that you respect your own boundaries. So boundaries related to work, you know, I'm going to put my laptop down at a certain time, or, you know, I'm not going to answer this email until I'm ready to answer it the next day. Boundaries related to family and friends. Unfortunately, I think sometimes family and friends can be stressors to us. And just thinking about, you know, are these people really giving positive vibes and positivity to my life? And if they're not, then how can I set a boundary to maybe keep them in my life while sort of respecting my own feelings about things? And I think self-care is a process, and something that I've learned this year is to have a lot of self-compassion for the things that you need to do. And it's okay if, you know, you need to take a step back. I was fortunate enough to go to New Hampshire this weekend, and I spent a lot of time just kind of reflecting on doing nothing. And it's a feeling that I don't have a lot of the time. Sometimes when I don't do anything, I feel like I need to be doing something. And I think that that right there is a red flag. You know, just giving yourself the space to do nothing for a little while is a form of self-care. I also think self-care looks so different for every person. So my self-care might look different than yours, might look different from your friends. And so allowing yourself the space to do what you need to do during that time, if it's going for a run or taking a walk or, you know, anything that kind of is going to clear your mind and give you a reset.
I mentioned this before, and I always talk about it during those youth mental health trainings I do. So I feel like I've said this 1,000 times, but I think I've only said it on the podcast once. But the thing that I recognize in myself is I start to have outsized emotional reactions. You know, like I watch a movie or something, there's like a sad moment. It's like, oh, I should be like, oh, that's sad. But instead, I'll just start ugly crying. You know, I've clearly am carrying some baggage I haven't realized until that moment. And then I just need some alone time. Like I don't know if I'm an introverted extrovert or an extroverted introvert. I'm the one where I can be outgoing, but it drains me. And then once I'm no longer with people, I just need to be alone and recharge my batteries. And jigsaw puzzles are the big thing. I've probably worked a jigsaw puzzle a week now. I buy them and I take them to, I work at a school. So I take them into the teachers and either they keep them for the classroom. Sometimes we give them to students, but yeah, I go through jigsaw puzzles like wild.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing with self-care, I compare it a lot to dehydration, right? Like if you wait until you're thirsty to drink water,
it's too late.
Too long.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. You know, if you wait until you're burnt out to practice self-care, you're not going to be optimal if you can't, you know, if self-care is optional, that's one of my posts on Instagram. Self-care is optional. You will not be optimal. And your body will catch up with you. If you don't take time for yourself and your mind and your body now, it'll let you know in the future.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about self-care is we are going to start adding to this podcast. We don't have a hard date set yet, but dear listener, you're going to start hearing Carissa's voice more often. You're going to start doing like, I use the word daily affirmations. I don't know if that's exactly what you're saying, but a way to kind of help people maybe center themselves, maybe practice a little bit of self-care. Can you give us a little like what exactly are you wanting to do with these spaces and what can people look forward to hearing from you?
I think that positive affirmations really can be so powerful. You know, reminding yourself that you are strong, you are brave, you are courageous. And especially in this capacity, you know, with our listeners who a lot of the time are service members and our service members in really difficult mental health spaces, it's so important to remember your value and your worth as a mental health provider, as a mental health service member. So I think a lot of, you know, what I'm trying to go for here is that reminder of your worth and your value, while also providing strategies, tools, and tricks to kind of keep your mind centered. A lot of practicing mindfulness, leading meditations, things that I think sometimes people stray away from because they think that it'll take too much time or too much effort or too much energy. And it really doesn't have to be that way. It can be something as simple as looking in the mirror when you wake up and, you know, saying, I got today and I can do this. Or, you know, it can be a little bit more extensive where you sit down for 5 minutes and you practice deep breathing. All of those things are valuable. And I think all those things are valuable, you know?
I agree. I think there's something for doing things with intention.
Yeah.
Not only like, you know, I drink a lot of water because I need to, but when I think through, I'm drinking a lot of water for these my reasons for my own health benefit. I do think just adding that intention into the recipe does make a difference, even if I'm doing the same thing. I don't know if it makes sense. Maybe it's like a mental placebo, but I feel like if I'm like, hey, I'm doing this today for self-care, it seems like it hits me better, harder, lasts with me longer than if I just did it.
Absolutely.
Does that make any sense at all?
Yes, absolutely. I think once you acknowledge that what you are doing is self-care, it puts things in a different perspective. And I think some people think that, you know, self-care has to be breathing, you know, or meditation or yoga or, you know, those practices that have become so popular. And I think so popular on social media. But they can also be things like, I'm going to wear a coat because it's cold outside, right? And I care about myself enough to put a coat on. You know, I'm going to eat a really healthy meal for lunch because I care about my body and I want it to function well. It's drinking enough water, you know, so it's those small things that I think we do every day. But like you're saying, once you decide that they are self-care practices, you see them in a different light. And I think you appreciate yourself and value yourself more for doing those things.
We haven't talked a lot about your AmeriCorps service. So I just want to circle back to that for a minute, because I always ask people, especially those like who are alumni who are no longer with the program, what advice would you share with someone who's out there thinking about maybe service, whether it's with AmeriCorps, Health 360 or someone else? What advice would you have for someone who's looking for a way to serve?
I would say there are a ton of different AmeriCorps programs out there. But I think, you know, if serving people in a mental health capacity is something that you're interested in, to go ahead and take that leap and do it. I really had no idea what I was getting into once I started. And for a long time, within my service term, I kind of felt that imposter syndrome, like, oh, I don't know if I should be here. I don't know if I'm doing this correctly. And I think that looking back on it, there are moments that I'm really, really proud of, and moments that I think about and I'm like, wow, I did that, you know, and I did change lives while I was serving. And I feel as though, even connected to the agency now, I'm still changing lives. And it's a great feeling. I think for anyone who is thinking about a service term, really taking a leap of connection also is super important. So connecting with your community, connecting with the people around you, connecting with the participants that maybe you're training, or those people you're talking to on crisis call lines, all of those connections, I think, serve a purpose for them and serve a purpose for you. And whether or not you know the meaning of those connections at the moment, I think, you know, as time goes on, you'll start to get a better, bigger picture of what those meant to you.
If someone is listening right now, and maybe they are struggling with some mental health issues themselves, some challenges, or they just don't feel centered, they feel anxious in a way they can't really express, what advice would you give them? Where should they go? What resources would you suggest they look into?
So there are a variety of resources for anyone who is struggling with mental health. The first thing that I would throw out there is the suicide hotline, or, you know, the crisis call line. And I think it's less intimidating when I say crisis call line, because you don't have to be in that space to call one of these lines and chat with someone. They're available through the 988 number, and you can call, text, chat that number, and someone will respond to you almost immediately. I think also reaching out to family and friends, and I think this goes for those struggling and also those listening that maybe, you know, right now are okay, is check in with your family and your friends. You know, if you haven't talked with them in a while, find connections that are meaningful to you or powerful to you, and leap for those. And I think for those that maybe have not reached out to those who may be struggling, you know, reach out with a call or a text, ask them if they're okay. There are a variety of posts on our sites about how to start a conversation with someone who you think may be struggling, but, you know, there are tons of resources out online and also locally resources too.
All right, fantastic. And I will, again, I'll put some links in the show notes, and just go into our website. You'll have access to many. And I just want to also kind of pinpoint that, that the text line, the crisis text line, because I know a lot of people, being on the phone is anxiety inducing, and they may not want to actually speak to someone. I've also had one person who shared with me that they weren't always in a position where they could be on the phone, but they could text. So if you're in a situation where you don't feel comfortable talking, but you need support, there is the text line as well. But there's a text line you can just text and get someone to chat back with you right away.
Yeah. So I think when I was doing my mental health trainings, it was 741-741.
Okay. I knew it was the same three numbers in a row, or twice. I just couldn't remember what it was. Yeah, okay.
But that is a great option for anyone, you know, who maybe is looking to connect with someone but doesn't want to do so over the phone. And I think that's a great option, you know, for those who are comfortable and even are sometimes better writing out feelings than verbalizing them, which happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then my last question I always like to ask people, you know, you knew you were going to be on the show tonight, so you probably had thought at least a little bit about what you were going to say. Is there anything that you were hoping I would ask about that I didn't? You have an anecdote to share. You have something you want to tell people or just talk about, but I didn't ask you, then give you the chance. Pretend I did just ask the perfect question and then share whatever you would like.
I had a really cool opportunity recently to connect directly with AmeriCorps and be able to share sort of my perspective on service. And that came out in a blog article that they just released on Mental Health Action Day. And it highlighted a story from my service term that forever kind of will drive my work as a social worker. And I just think that it's so important to mention. I was training a group of adults one day, and I had done a adult mental health first aid training about a month prior. And I was now doing a youth mental health first aid training. And we had taken one of our 10-minute breaks, and one of the women in the training came up to me And she just said, thank you. And I kind of recognized her, but I'll be honest, you know, I couldn't put a name to her face. And she said, I was in your last training, your adult mental health first aid training, when the part of the training that came up to ask, you know, how you would approach someone who is maybe thinking about suicide or was struggling in that capacity, she did not participate. She opted out, which is always an option, you know, if they don't want to practice asking the question. She said that she had opted out that day, but I had said something like, you know, this exercise really is to provide some muscle memory for the mouth so that if you're in a situation where you really need to ask someone that, you can do so comfortably. And I said, if nothing else, on your way home today, when you're alone sitting in your car, practice that question. If you're not comfortable doing it here, practice it there. And she said, I did that. And not soon after that training, she actually was in a situation where she had to ask a family member if they were thinking about suicide. And she said, that question, I believe that day saved my family member's life. And I just looked at her and I had tears in my eyes and I was completely speechless. And that moment for me really was full circle of why am I doing this, and what impact does it have on others? Because anyone at any training can write you a little note saying, hey, that was a great training. Loved your stories, loved your skill set. But it's that moment where someone had taken what I taught and brought it out into the real world, and it showed real impact that continues to drive what I do now.
That is very powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Again, I want to use the word powerful, that you had such an immediate recognition of what we do. But anytime I teach those classes, I keep in the back of my head that maybe someone in this class is going to save someone's life. I may not get a chance to be told. It may happen years from now, but I absolutely believe there's value in what we do. And so that's just proof positive that it can happen. And again, thank you for sharing. If you would like, I can put the link to that blog post in the show notes as well, if people would like to read the full accounting.
That would be great. And I think that's also important too for anyone who's, you know, maybe contemplating a service term. The links to the Healthy Minds Alliance program are also in that blog post. So again, feel free to check that out. But it was a really neat experience. So I'm glad that I got the opportunity to share my perspective and that story is out there in existence now.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I want to once again say thank you to Carissa for joining me today and sharing a bit about her experiences, both with AmeriCorps, that powerful story she shared about her mental health awareness training that she did. I really hope that you got something from this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week when we will have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.